whatever the infernal thing is.
This is the Supercalifragilistic Awesome Disney Podcast, where each week we discuss, you guessed it, Disney.
Things you know, things you don't know, and things you didn't know you needed to know.
Well, as Walt would say, the way to get started is to quit talking and begin doing.
Oh, wait, I can do this.
Okay.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténgase alejado de las puertas.
Welcome aboard, Disney fam. Welcome aboard, indeed, Disney fam. My name is Chris.
And I'm Kelly.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Supercalifragilistic Awesome Disney Podcast. You're going with your queen ears.
Yes.
That's what we decided to call them.
Yes.
These not are England queen ears, not UK ears.
Yes, your queen ears. Technically, I think I would call them her ladyship ears.
Sure.
But in any case, yes, they have a tiny crown. And they're woman empowering, which is what my segment's about today.
Okay, so they're adjacent. Oh, good.
They're not adjacent. They're on. On topic, they're on topic is what they are.
Would you like to know where we had downloads this week?
I would, honey. Please
okay.
tell me.
We had downloads in Muscatine, Iowa.
Muscatine? Is that all one word?
I'm assuming so. Yeah, I don't think it's Muscatine, right? Probably not.
Right.
Probably Muscatine.
Okay.
Situated on the beautiful banks of the Mississippi River right across the border from Illinois.
Okay.
I'm sure they're lovely there. All right. Now, look, I'm going to say the name of this next town. I don't think it's right. I don't know. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce this.
You're trying. This is you
trying. I'm going to call it Lititz. Lititz, Pennsylvania. Because the only other way I know to pronounce it would be Lititz. And I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right. I'm going to call it Lititz. Lititz.
I kind of want it to be Lititz.
Okay.
it's not a French town.
No, it's okay. Not lay. It's not lay. It's not lay tits. No, it's not. It's Lititz.
I really want Lititz. It to be Lititz.
This is the heart of Dutch country, 9 miles north of Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And it's the home of the Wolf Sanctuary of PA. And I sort of loved that website.
I like that. That's fun.
Yeah. Okay. 40 acres of wolf habitat. No, maybe 80 acres of wolf habitat.
Okay. There. I'm for it.
Millville, Utah, 2,222. I love the alliteration there. Population in 2020. They do think that it grew by 78 since then, though, to make it an even 2,300.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So,
it's experiencing
an even,
a population
an even 2,300 in 2023?
Yeah, actually.
Because that would be awesome.
That's what it is.
That's fantastic.
What they say. Okay. And some more people who's town, in this case, commune name, I'm going to screw up, but I love these people. I'm so happy that they've downloaded our podcast. The fine folks in...
Here we go.
Ilkirch Grafenstaden.
I think you really...
I killed it. I'm almost positive I killed it.
On Ilkirch Grafenstaden. Is that what you said?
No.
Ilkirch Grafenstaden.
Ilkirch
Grafenstaden.
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 Yes.
Ilkirch Grafenstaden.
Yes.
I nailed it too.
Where are they at? What country?
I thought you said Pennsylvania.
You are still stuck on the tits. These folks are in France.
Okay. I probably would have gone with Germany.
So that's why.
Grafenstaden.
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 It sounds very German. But we actually had folks download from Strasbourg a few weeks ago, and I thought that was Germany too. But no, these are both places right on the border between France and Germany.
I mean, they were probably
German for a little while back in the 40s, but nevertheless, right on the border there, Ilkirch Grafenstaden.
I think you absolutely nailed that.
It's a suburb of Strasbourg, actually.
Okay. I think you nailed it.
Yeah.
You absolutely nailed it.
Thanks. I appreciate that support. And thank you all, folks, for downloading our little show here.
Absolutely.
Ready for some Main
Welcome
Street?
Welcome, Ilkirch Grafenstaden.
Not messing up their town name. They're very proud of it, I know.
I thought I nailed it.
So, Disney has recommitted to investing billions at Walt Disney World despite the Reedy Creek changes. Now, they did not come out in like a big major statement or anything, but there is a new page on the Walt Disney Company website that sort of goes into this, and it goes into, you know, some people have asked about our commitment to Walt Disney World given the hostile nature of the Florida government towards Disney right now. And, you know, Bob Iger and Josh DeMauro, these people that control these kinds of decisions, have questioned out loud if they're going to be able to turbocharge. They used the word turbocharge previously. If they're going to be able to turbocharge the growth of those parks and experiences, given the state of play in Florida right now. And Iger has come right out and asked if the state of Florida doesn't want them to invest anymore there. However, this new page on the website does flatly say that they are committed to still investing billions of dollars into capacity growth type developments there, and expect to add 13,000 new jobs in the next 10 years.
Good.
So that's good. They've grown to 75,000 jobs in the local, that's just Disney County, direct. Yeah. That doesn't even count all the jobs that are created
because of them,
adjacent, like other hotels, shops, and like rental cars and all the things, shopping, etc. Hey, at the Magic Kingdom, the Country Bears have started rehearsing. I know. I love that that's how this article was titled, that the Country Bears have started rehearsing the new show.
As though it's actual.
What are you about to say? The story has been relayed to the listeners. Now let's move on. There's no need to.
The Bears have started rehearsing. I really thought it was going to be down longer, and so therefore,
Their venue, I'm sure, is down, but they're off somewhere else rehearsing.
Okay.
While we get their venue right.
Okay.
Obviously.
Good. Good.
Okay. Right. We eye to eye now.
Oh,
we understand.
Good. Okay. Yeah, I'm excited. Woo!
Tiana's Bayou Adventure has had an official opening season named. It will open up in the summer of this year.
I know, but we saw that there were people trying it out. I think they're going to do a soft launch before the summer.
I'm sure that they will. I'm sure we'll have another one of those things where DVC members can pay $45 bucks to get on a certain day
it's
and all that
stuff.
It's going
to be a soft launch. Yeah. It really is. And I hope people. They have like guards and stuff protecting the water because people can try to take some of that water and sell it on eBay. You know how people are.
People are.
Fresh new water from Tiana's Bayou.
They have been ride testing the vehicles.
I know they have.
At least they were for a little while. Now they've got scaffolding back up on the outside to do some more work on the exterior.
Yeah, no, they were ride testing it, and it's absolutely going to have a soft launch before summer, but whatever. We can go with that date.
Sure. Topiaries are popping up all over the place in Epcot for the Flower and Garden Festival. We're going to be there for that. I'm so excited. There's a new little construction area that has popped up over near the Imagination Pavilion, where Figment is. And the rumor is that that's going to make room for more festival kiosks over in that area.
Interesting.
Which is like what World Nature or something like that over in that area, okay. I think. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, but they've been trying to spread the festivals out into the other side of the park for quite some time.
Which, with all the work they've been doing over there, it'll lend itself to that much
more. I mean, I don't think I've bought into that quite yet, but I mean, I appreciate them trying to spread the crowd out.
The more kiosks, the better.
Absolutely.
So I'm for it.
Absolutely.
Apparently at Epcot, Soarin' has been doing Soarin' over California. I think I must have missed that or... I just didn't lock that in.
I think
but,
I knew that.
But it ends February 27th, and it goes back to Soarin' around the world.
Okay.
Which I prefer, frankly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, California does have the nice orange groves.
They do have those nice orange groves. They do not have the elephant poo smell.
Right. Which I think it's interesting that California has the orange groves, and you're smelling it in Florida, which is known for their oranges.
Well, it's not. Yeah, I guess. But you know how it is. Other states probably produce more oranges than Florida does.
Gosh,
although the orange
really,
bird,
really
the orange bird is really.
I know. They've got a whole bird.
They got a whole bird.
Got a whole bird.
You know, we've been talking about like other like side gigs and stuff. And Disney has begun casting performers and puppeteers for the new Little Mermaid show at Hollywood Studios.
Something. Do you think that's a side gig for you or me?
Both of us. The way you sing.
The Little Mermaid. You think I would be Ariel. my hair, obviously,
and my voice. And your voice,
obviously. Obs. Obs. The hair and the voice. Obviously, I'll be Ariel. So who would you be? Like Max?
I hadn't thought about that, but yes, I would play Max. That'd be great. I'd be great at Max.
Ursula?
Oh, Eric, although I look good as Ursula. You look great as Ursula. We've seen that picture. I look good as Ursula. I do. I can totes pull that off. Maybe that would be fun. That would be a fun job. Ursula. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So just keep that in the back here.
I don't think you'd be Eric. Eric doesn't have enough speaking lines. Okay. You're better than that.
That's a really nice way of saying you don't look like a prince, son.
No. You're my prince, but you deserve.
You come across much better as Ursula.
You deserve a good monologue and a strong vocal.
Okay, well, I think that's Ursula then.
Okay. All
right. I'm not stuck in gender norms. Mm-mm. So this is really, really cool. The new baby Okapi at Animal Kingdom mm-hmm. has a name now.
Okay.
They named him Elijah.
Aw.
Named after a cast member who has been with Disney for 50 years.
Aw.
How awesome is that? This is the announcement. Cast member Elijah first joined the Magic Kingdom in June of 1973.
Oh my goodness.
And transferred to the horticulture department at Disney's Animal Kingdom when it opened in 1998. So he'd already been there for 25 years when Animal Kingdom opened.
Oh my gosh.
He plays a critical role in maintaining the animal habitats at Disney's Animal Kingdom, from the rhinos to Okapi and everything in between. Because he is such a beloved cast member, we named this newest baby Okapi after him. Isn't that great?
That is so sweet.
It really is awesome. And I saw a picture of him, you know, putting out
with stuff. Elijah.
Well, he wasn't with the Okapi specifically, but it was cast member Elijah putting out straw and stuff for
some of
the
animals. Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
That's really sweet.
Yep. Do you remember we talked recently about baby Cora, the new baby elephant?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cora's debut is now, you can go see Cora now in the habitat with the others.
Okay.
Oh my goodness. Here's Ella.
Ella
Jane. Cora's debut marks a historic first, as she is the first second generation calf at Animal Kingdom. Cora's mother, Nadira, was also born at Disney's Animal Kingdom back in 2005. Cora is the first calf born at Animal Kingdom in 7 years. However, two more on the way next year.
She's going to get what, cousins?
Probably.
Aww.
She's hanging out with her aunts and her uncle and her aunts and her grandmother. Her grandmother's name is Donna.
Oh, that's fresh. I love that her name's Donna.
Her aunts are named like Stella and Granny something Donna. Else. Yeah. Mac, his dad, he's also still there too.
Okay.
I bet the two babies born next year might have something to do with Mac too.
you don't think he's monogamous?
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Elephants strike me as the type that would be.
I know that their herds are very matriarchal.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Elephants strike me as the type that would be, you know, monogamous. I don't know. If it's a matriarchal herd, then I don't think they're going to allow their men to just go off and make babies with any other herd.
I think they will. I don't think Mac's doing all the work at the park is what I'm saying.
I
think all the pressure's on Mac here. No.
Yeah, there's other boys.
I think there's probably other boys. Huh. Okay. Disneyland Forward is having a public hearing tomorrow if anybody wants to go and ask about it.
Okay, in Anaheim.
In Anaheim. The notice says that the meeting is, quote, an opportunity for the community to learn about the project, including the first amended and restated development agreement, and provide comments to the Planning Commission.
Okay.
Let's see here. Did we talk on the show last week about the Pixar Place? I know you and I talked about it.
We did.
We did. And now Joe, because I wanted to really talk about
it. I think this
Joe.
Would be a great time for you to talk about the drone show at Disneyland Paris, because you say that we constantly chatting it up and you never have time to get to that. Get to it.
Okay. Can we say this is
music
really,
is starting.
Really hard turn here because you went into that little rant, but we did not speak about Carl Weathers passing away. And that happened a couple of weeks ago. He was 76. He, of course, played Apollo Creed, but he was also Greef Karga in The Mandalorian. And, you know, rest in peace, Carl Weathers. An amazing person.
You said that, and I immediately thought, Carl, like Carl and Ellie.
No, not that one. Not that, Carl.
Talk about the drone show.
The drone show at Paris, Disneyland Paris, is awesome and amazing. And it is effectively the Main Street Electrical Parade in the sky. They've got this pirate ship.
Y'all can't see his face. I can see his face. And I just need to tell you that he's being very mockatory.
I am not. They've got this pirate ship. You are being mockatory.
You know the pirate ship is not the key part of that drone show.
What is?
It's the Main Street Electrical Parade. Nobody goes to the Main Street Electrical Parade for a pirate ship.
What do they go?
They go for the dragon with smoke. They go for the turtles that spin.
Yeah.
They go for the music and yes, the thing that looks true. Like the big drum. This is
what's the name of the music? What's the song called?
I don't know.
Baroque Hoedown. And they did actually bring it back for this drone show.
I know they did. I know that.
A revamped version of the Baroque Hoedown.
Here's the thing. Like, this is supposedly your most favorite parade ever. You have all these nostalgic memories, like so many of this parade that I actually bought you like an original vinyl album.
You did.
Of this music. Right?
Shocking that you don't know the name of the song then.
Well, and then this comes out. It's going to be a massive drone show where they're going to have the music and recreate this in the sky. And you're like, there's this pirate ship.
Like, it's because the pirate ship is cool.
Nobody cares about the pirate ship.
They will. It'll and be the new.
You don't either.
It'll be the new Pete's Dragon.
No. You don't care either. You are in love with the Main Street Electrical Parade, and you have not brought that up in a news segment.
When it comes back
weeks.
Down to the ground and is riding around on Main Street, then I'm going to talk
That's
about it like
crap.
Crazy.
That's crap. If it comes to Walt Disney World, you would pee your pants to get there and watch it, and you know you would. Or Disneyland, you'd pee your pants to get there and watch it. You know you would. You know you would.
Speaking of looking at people's faces.
Being mockatory. Not gonna have it.
not gonna have
on the eve of Women's History Month.
So I'm talking about Tomorrowland, and I'm actually going to be talking about a Tomorrowland type topic, unlike what
That's
you
That's also a smart ass comment. Thank you. Yeah. No, it's fine.
What?
It's fine. I can handle it.
Oh, have you ever taken a Disney? A private VIP tour at the parks?
I haven't because I'm not rich.
Exactly. We've talked before about like the backstage tour.
Yeah.
Right? And I've always been like, oh, I don't know if I want to do the backstage tour. I know that it's not all actual magic, but I don't want to.
I don't want to kill the magic.
Kill the magic for right. myself.
You don't want to. I mean, where
I'm
the
only
goes.
Almost 50 years old.
No, I know.
So, but they have these private VIP tours that are designed to. Let folks with a lot more money than us have like the super, super efficient days where you are given a guide, a plaid, as I'm told one of the articles that they're called a plaid. So we'll see plaids all over the place. They wear plaid vests.
Oh, they're special.
Yeah.
They got a plaid vest. Okay.
And you can pretty much bet that they are the most expert people you're going
to
meet.
I was about to say, but they've passed a lot of quizzes and tests. Yes.
And they're not all VIP tours. Sometimes they're working behind the desk in one of the, you know, right. resorts or whatever.
They got the plaid vest. You're a plaid.
You're a plaid.
We'll get you a plaid for that. Yes.
I'm going to be calling them the plaids from now on.
Okay.
So here's how, by the way, thanks to the Disney World website, photers.com. They're the travel people. They put out all the like photos travel guides and the points guy, who I know we like a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
For all the information here. The Disney site describes it like this. The team at Disney VIP Tour Services will plan the most efficient and enjoyable way for groups of up to 10 guests to see and do the things on their list of most wanted things to do. Just tell your personal VIP tour guide what you'd like to see, and they'll customize your day for you.
Okay.
After being picked up in a private vehicle from your Walt Disney World Resort, or branded partner accommodation, enjoy unparalleled hospitality and experience some of your favorite attractions alongside a VIP tour guide. Some of the personalized services include pre-arrival planning, a flexible start time picked by you, visits to multiple theme parks in one day if you want, the ability to enjoy some of your favorite attractions efficiently through most lightning lane entrances, and shared insight from your highly knowledgeable VIP tour guide. I'm gonna go ahead and hit the painful piece right up here. That's up front. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Prices at Walt Disney World range from $450 to $900 per hour. Mm. depending on the season. And that, it does not include park tickets.
That was my question.
I knew it would be. Does not include park tickets. And you, I saw other places that a minimum of 7 hours is required, but I did not see that on the Disney site.
Wow.
So, it's also available at Disneyland. Prices ranging from $500 to $700 per hour. It's still up to 10 guests and a minimum of 7 hours there.
I mean, frankly, if I'm rich, that's nothing.
It is nothing. Also,
so if I'm a celebrity or something, like if that's nothing, I would totally do it that way.
If I were going with, say, 10 people who were equally able to pay their own.
You split it, right. It's like $100.
$300 or $400 for what you're going to get here is pretty good, honestly. When you consider what you will pay for extra Lightning Lane or virtual queue to get onto Rise.
I wonder if, I bet they do. I bet they have plaids that speak multiple languages.
They definitely do. They, there's on their website, they tell you to, when you're booking your trip, your plan, to let them know if you need other languages spoken, and they'll work that out among the VIP tour guides.
That'd be nice.
For sure. Paris also has this. It's like a 6-hour tour. And I saw that there's something in Disneyland Tokyo, but it's not quite this, like this. Okay. So the pointsguy.com actually did this. By the way, if you Google, is this worth it? I feel like Disney put out a media blitz.
Of course they did.
That said, hey, here are the talking points. And if you want to come do this, we'll show you around so that you'll write an article that says it's worth it, and here's why.
Right.
Because I literally couldn't find an article that said it wasn't worth it.
Right. And they all had the same talking points?
I didn't read all of them, but yeah. Mostly, yeah. Okay. It's very similar stuff. However, the points guy I went with because, A, I think it's fairly reputable, and he actually, I'm saying he, but.
Don't, right.
Actually listed out exactly what they did to the minute of their day.
That's helpful. Yeah. Right.
And so we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
So he says it's not just the quick access to the attractions that is the selling point. The guides are, you know, Johnny on the spot with things like water and ponchos and, you know, Mickey bars and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
It did rain on their day, and so that ended up being very helpful. The guides can either ride rides with you, and he says that's really cool because they give you secrets that maybe you didn't know. But also, if they've like sort of got this list of everybody seems to be thirsty, everybody wants some water, I'm going to hold off while you guys are riding. I'm going to go get some waters and bring those back to you whenever you get off.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had signed up for 7 hours, but they ended up going about 8.5 for various reasons, which we'll sort of hit on. But also they just wanted to make sure they saw everything that they wanted to see.
Right.
He says that some of their time on the front end was eaten up because like one of the kids lost a magic band. And so they wasted some time finding a magic band. They also had to fill out some paperwork. He said, we could have filled out that paperwork early and not had to eat up any time.
Right.
When you're spending say $500 an hour.
Right.
You don't want to lose any time.
Right.
Right. So they said counting transportation to and from the resort and the transfer between two parks, they did the Magic Kingdom and they did Hollywood Studios in one day. They spent a little over an hour in transit. So they actually had about a little under 7 hours of true park experience that translated into 16 attractions over two parks.
Wow. That's nice.
Right.
Yeah.
In 8.5 hours.
Right.
So already, that's not something you can do.
You can't, right? No.
Normally. he said the VIP tour guide got waters and pixie dusted his youngest with a Dole Whip because the very first attraction they wanted to ride was Pirates and it was down most of the day. But they would have walked right on. And it's funny when we see what they did and in the order they did it, you can totally see like how they went through the parks.
Right.
Did mention that lunchtime was fairly inefficient. They're not giving you lunch. Lunch you do like you would do on a normal day.
As you're walking or sit and eat somewhere.
And so they mobile ordered. And so you know how mobile ordering works. They tell you about what time your meal will be ready. And so you're still trying to find a place to sit and all this stuff. And you end up spending an hour there where you're paying a guide and you're not really doing anything.
Right.
So just keep that in mind.
Right.
So here is how their day went. Their tour officially began at 10 a.m. at Wilderness Lodge. And that's when they were like, oh, we can't find the magic band. We got to fill out some paperwork. So they lost 15 to 20 minutes there. Okay. But by 10:49, they were ready to ride their first ride. So they started at 10. Okay. They got to Magic Kingdom. They had found out they couldn't ride Pirates. And so they went to their next thing. And so at 10:49, they rode their first ride. Between 10:49 and 1:42.
Okay,
3 hours, roughly. Mm-hmm. They rode Aladdin Magic Carpets, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder, Haunted Mansion, Peter Pan's Flight.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. The Mini Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, the Mad Tea Party, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and Space Mountain.
Okay.
Right? That was in 3 hours.
Solid.
It's pretty solid and efficient. At 2:17, they left in their private transport for Hollywood Studios.
Okay.
And they parked right behind Tower of Terror. And that's the other thing here is you park backstage.
Right.
And so you got real quick
skipping
entry into the park.
Stuff,
yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. From 2:56 to 5:44, again, a little less than 3 hours, mm-hmm. they rode Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, Runaway Railway, Rise, Smuggler's Run, Slinky Dog, and Toy Story Mania.
Jeez.
And they were back at Wilderness Lodge at 6:30.
Wow.
Almost eight and a half hours. That was their day.
So it's mostly attractions.
It's mostly to help you get on the attractions in a in an efficient manner.
Right.
They paid a grand total of $4,675 or $467 a person.
Okay.
That equated to about like $29 per attraction per person. Right.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's expensive. It is expensive. And then they also say plan for 15 to 20% tip. It's one of the few Disney cast member jobs where you can actually give them a cash tip.
Right.
You know, and that's pretty good money for them. It's basically equivalent to an hour. One last little thing here. Throughout the tour, our group was given about 25 bottles of water at $3.50 each, 10 Mickey bars, so one each for them. 10 rain ponchos, one stroller rental, and a cup of Dole Whip. If it was any other day, they would have spent $402 on that stuff.
And so that was all free.
That all came with it. Yeah. Right. So
that's interesting.
VIP tours.
Yeah.
If you do not have much time in the parks and
you've got money
and you want to hit as much as you possibly can and you've got some money to spend, it's absolutely worth it.
Yeah, sure.
They've had people get 4 parks in a day.
So I am World Showcase, and I'm putting that in quotes.
Okay.
Because I have celebrated Women's History Month before.
Of course you have.
Or Herstory. So March marks, this is on the website for Disney, March marks the start of Women's History Month, and we're celebrating her story with a lineup of delicious items all across Walt Disney World Resort. Our talented teams of chefs and mixologists have put their passions to the plate and masterfully created some truly spectacular items for you to enjoy as you honor the women in your life.
I think that's worthy.
So I like it. I like where they're going with that. Now, I'm not going to go through all of these because there's just too many and we don't have time.
Which says something in and of itself.
It does. And so I'm just going to hit the ones that I found to be particularly interesting or that look really yummy. Most of them will be available while we're there, so I'm excited to try some of these in March.
Cool.
So we're going to start at Epcot. At Epcot, we're going to Sunshine Seasons, where we will have the Moana milkshake.
Don't sleep on Sunshine Seasons.
Yeah, sure. This is an orange cream milkshake with whipped cream, seashells, pearls, and a Moana coin. It's a non-alcoholic beverage.
Okay.
Sticking with the orange theme, at Tangerine Cafe, we have the orange blossom saffron cake.
Okay. Oh, I bet that's good.
It looks amazing, and it was inspired by a pastry sous chef and her love of memories assisting her grandmother in the kitchen.
That's nice.
So that's it. That's sort of her thing. Orange blossom saffron cake looks amazing.
It sounds amazing.
Now we're going to pop over to Disney's Animal Kingdom theme park, where I will just say, honestly, I think I'm just going to eat there this time. I don't know that I really need to do anything other than eat at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
lounge and eat is what I'm lounge really eat. Feeling.
Okay.
And so I can just hit all of this. I've got it all highlighted. We've got
that skill set.
So at first you're at Creature Comforts. There is where they have the Feathered Friends Moose Dome. Now, come on.
You love a moose.
No, I love a moose. This is a lavender white chocolate mousse, an orange blossom cake, a chocolate coating, chocolate flakes, white chocolate feathers, and buttercream. Now, these white chocolate feathers are all different colors.
Oh.
It's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's new, and I need it.
Okay.
This was inspired by another pastry assistant sous chef who loved seeing the colorful macaws at Discovery Island each day. So the feathers look like the macaws.
Love that.
Yes. She says, working for Disney is a daily adventure filled with the joy of crafting desserts that delight and bring smiles to hundreds of guests. So I like that. Then they have over at Nomad Lounge, the tequila and pineapple cocktail. This has Casa Dragon's Blanco tequila, pineapple juice, tepache syrup, and St. Elizabeth allspice dram. This wow. is new. Fun fact, Casa Dragon's tequila is a woman-founded and led business, and that's the foundation for this drink. There is also the ginger whiskey. With notes of ginger and brown sugar, this cocktail features Uncle Nearest 1856 whiskey, which is a black and woman-owned and operated business.
How about that?
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
We need to have those things.
Okay.
Over at Tiffin's, they have the white chocolate orange creme brulee with a blueberry cardamom curd, Amarula ice cream, orange chutney, and a Cielo cookie, Roz El Hanout candy crunch. I mean,
whatever that is.
That's insane. The cast member who made this, it is an inspiration of her sister, Kirsten, who Bridget credits with guiding her through various professional education and personal milestones and achievements.
You just get, there's a meeting some point where they get the chefs together and they say, look, who inspires you? Come up with something
they
new.
They get the women chefs together.
Yeah, right? Sure.
These are women chefs. Okay. Magic Kingdom, Golden Oak Outpost. Tiana's famous beignets. Beignets at Magic Kingdom. We need these. Light, sweet, and fluffy beignets with strawberry dipping sauce. At Main Street Bakery, we have the mini mousse cupcake. This is a chocolate chip cupcake with cheesecake filling, topped with chocolate buttercream, chocolate ears, and a chocolate bow.
Oh.
The buttercream that it's talking on top is actually red with white polka dots. I don't even know how they did
that.
Like the bow actually gets lost in it. It's beautiful.
I like the idea of a chocolate chip cupcake with cream cheese filling.
Yeah, I knew you would. They also have Tiana's Chantilly cake, and you know I love a Chantilly. Mm-hmm. This is a vanilla chiffon cake with lemon Chantilly and fresh strawberries topped with a fondant flower and a Tiana chocolate piece. That's at another place as well. Sleepy Hollow has a Madame Leota cupcake. This is a chocolate cherry cupcake filled with blackberry cream, topped with cherry buttercream and a Madame Leota chocolate piece. Sleepy Hollow is a dark horse.
It's all the time.
But I need the Madame Leota cupcake.
Yeah,
I'm just going to need that. Over at Hollywood Studios at the Dockside Diner, we've got the Princes of Alderaan shake. Now, this is what you're going to see on all of the Instas everywhere. Okay? This is a salted caramel shake topped with whipped cream, edible glitter, and mini cinnamon rolls. So this looks like what you would think it looks like. The mini cinnamon rolls are attached to the side of the shake.
Gosh.
So it looks like her buns. We'll get into later, and you can explain to me why this isn't Princess Leia shake. We'll get into that at a later date.
You don't want to.
We don't have time.
We can
right
talk
now.
About it.
No. At Fairfax Fair, they have Belle's Cup of Enchantment. This is a cranberry and passion fruit orange guava juice topped with yellow shimmer and strawberry boba pearls. Non-alcoholic boba
sounds
pearls.
Very
I need
glittery
it.
And pretty.
At Hollywood Scoops, this is adorable.
Okay.
They have the mini kitchen sink sundae.
Oh,
so it's a kitchen sink, but it has like a skirt going around it that with
and
that's
mini. It's also mini, like it's, smaller than the kitchen sink
yes,
they do over at
this
beaches.
Is your choice of hand scooped ice cream topped with red vanilla whipped cream, chocolate syrup, white polka dot sprinkles, cookie ears, and a chocolate bow. over at Disney Springs, you know you're going to want to go to Amorette's Patisserie.
Of course.
She's got a Mardi Gras petite cake with layers of vanilla chiffon, cinnamon cream cheese mousse, bourbon caramel mousse, and a salted praline crunch. Yeah. The sous chef here comes from Louisiana. And this is a special nod to what she loves most about what she enjoyed as a child. The cake is topped with an image of Tiana and Charlotte to honor the close female friendships that this sous chef had throughout her childhood.
That is so nice.
Isn't that sweet? Frontera Cocina has a Frida Margarita, which is obviously named after Frida Kahlo. And this also has that Casa Dragones Blanco tequila. This has a rose petal liqueur, lemon juice, and pomegranate cordial served with a rose petal popcorn salt rim.
What?
I know, I can't even. So this is named after Frida Kahlo. It honors her. She's a prominent figure in art history. If you're not familiar with Frida, Google her. She's amazing. The tequila that they're using is founded by a woman. She's known for being the first woman to be certified as a maestra tequileria or master tequileria. And so she has played a significant role in promoting Mexican tequila on a global stage. So what I love is that all of these desserts sort of have a callback to,
sure.
to a woman in their lives or whatever.
Yes, for sure.
And a lot of the all-star movies or the all-star resorts, you can get, honey, this one's for you, a banana pudding cheesecake.
Yeah, it is
This
for
is
me.
A banana cheesecake with vanilla pudding and a vanilla wafer crust. This is inspired by sous chef Janelle, who drew the inspiration from her Jamaican roots and her time living in the U.S., where she developed a fondness for banana pudding.
Of course.
She took these classic dessert flavors and infused them into a special cheesecake topped with a Mickey garnish, a special nod to her dream of working for Disney coming true.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't she must have gone to my grandmom's house a lot.
At Saratoga Springs, at the Artist Palette, you can get a cauliflower bisque, a beef bourguignon,
wow.
or a traditional pound cake. Or you know what? Hashtag get all three.
That's right.
The first two are new. The beef bourguignon and the cauliflower bisque are new. And so that cauliflower bisque, creamy cauliflower, harissa, and a roasted pistachio gremolata.
Gosh,
that sounds great.
It does. It sounds really
inspired by what the sous chef Lauren learned from her mother. You get the creamy, spicy, slightly spicy flavor from the harissa, and the pistachio gremolata gives texture and freshness. Ugh, very difficult. Reminiscent of dipping homemade garlic bread into the
soup.
There
you go.
Isn't that great?
That sounds great.
The Bœuf Bourguignon is inspired, again, by sous chef Lauren's grandmother. It's her tribute to Granny, who showed me how you can make simple ingredients and create something delicious that feels like home, even if it isn't something you might have had as a child. The traditional pound cake is just your typical homemade vanilla pound cake, inspired by the proprietor Deborah's family recipe, which has been passed down from generation to generation.
I love that. I do have a question about her pound cake. Does she soak it in some sort of a moonshine?
Didn't say so. Here's something I would also like to point out is that a lot of the chefs that are putting these things together are sous chefs. And so it does appear that all of the women in the park were asked to participate in this activity are at the sous chef level, not at the chef level. And so here's what I would like to say, Disney, is I appreciate you bringing the sous chefs into this. I love hearing their stories, what have you. I would like to see more of these sous chefs promoted to actual chefs by the 2025
Herstory
event, so that we know that they're not just subordinates in your organization.
Okay.
Down with the patriarchy. Hashtag she persisted.
Hey, folks. That's this week's show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you know what to do next. Run out to wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating. And if your service allows for it, leave us a review, because that's going to help bring other people to the show.
It really does. And if you're looking for more things Disney, visit scfadp.com. That's S for Super, C for Cali, F for Fragilistic, A for Awesome, D for Disney, P for Podcast. Honey, I feel like it's time for us to do a virtual flower garden.
It definitely is time. Sometime in the next week, we need to do that, because the kiosks are out there. We know what they are. It's time to make it happen.
Make it happen.
Virtually delicious, except the difference is this is going to actually come true.
We will actually be there.
So keep an eye out for that. Join us on the socials at SCFADP on Instagram. The more the merrier out there. And with that, we will see you real soon.